Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
This morning on the third hour of Today, breaking news. New data just released about Pfizer's vaccine and whether it protects against the Omicron variant. We're breaking down what we all need to know. Then later, double feature, sisters Kimberly Williams-Paisley and Ashley Williams live talking about their two new Christmas movies. And cheers to our holiday handbook with the best drinks to serve or give this season. All coming up today, Wednesday, December 8th, 2021. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, this is the third hour of Today.
And good Wednesday morning. Welcome to this third hour of Today.
What day is it?
It is hump day.
Mike.
I never get so old. Craig Melvin, Jacob Soboroff, Chanel Jones, the one and only Al Roker. Mm-hmm. We got a whole spread here this morning. We have something for everyone. Something for wine lovers, beer lovers, or like me, bourbon lovers.
Okay.
That is all ahead in our holiday handbook.
And by the way, if we had glasses in front of us, we would toast to our executive producer, Tom Mazzarelli.
Happy birthday, Maz.
It's his birthday.
So happy birthday, Maz.
51 years around the sun.
He's witty, he's steady, he's patient.
That's right.
He's
and he
all
makes
those
his
things.
Own clothes. He's
makes his own clothes.
Wow, amazing. I would love some Maz threads.
All right, so happy birthday, Maz. Also, coming up later, we're going to show you how to take the perfect holiday photo. Is that a thing? Apparently it is. We're going to show you how to be perfect.
So you and Al saw some photos from the Roker house?
Yeah, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in your home.
Well, Deborah had the idea of doing I thought this was the video. But anyway, we did a little time lapse and decorated the tree, and boom.
Beautiful.
Those are actually from Deborah, those pictures.
There we go.
Wow. Nick was helping, you know.
Wait a minute. Her dress is giving me life. Is that a skirt and a top?
It's a skirt. It's a top. It's a whole thing.
I need to be better.
Deborah decorates
right?
the tree.
Right? Like, I mean, she gets dressed
she
up.
She gets decked out the tree.
Yes, she does. After school special.
And she even put the angel on top. So
I love it.
Bravo.
On the move.
Beautiful.
I love it. All right. Well, happy holidays to everyone. All right. Let's get into the big news of the morning. Just a short time ago, Pfizer released its first data about how its vaccine stands up against the Omicron variant. And what they found was that a third dose, that booster shot, may be the key to better protection. It grabbed our attention for sure. There's a lot to digest. So let's bring in NBC News medical contributor Dr. Natalie Azar. So Dr. Natalie, what exactly does this Pfizer news mean for all of us wondering about, you know, what to do and those boosters?
Exactly. So I would start off by saying that this news is good news.
Okay.
Good.
And not entirely surprising.
Okay.
So basically what they found was that a third dose of the Pfizer shot gave the equivalent amount of protection in the form of those neutralizing antibodies, which is what you develop after you get vaccinated, gave the same number of those as people who got two shots against the original variant. Remember, a year ago, we talked about 95% efficacy, all of that? Mm-hmm. So essentially, this third dose generated the same number of antibodies as that same number that gave us that great efficacy a year ago.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you know, it is lab data, right? So it's literally just taking the variant and taking the vaccine and seeing how it works. Mm. That's not real world evidence yet, but laboratory wise, this is very, very encouraging news.
And Pfizer announcing they're working on an Omicron variant specific vaccine. Mm. So would that mean that even if you've gotten three shots, could there be like another shot early next year?
And that, of course, is the holy grail. And there is a lot of robust discussion amongst experts about whether we should be telling everyone to rush out now and get a third shot of the original vaccine, right? Or should we wait for
the new
booster?
One. Right.
And I'm listening carefully to both sides, and both sides have real legitimate scientific arguments for waiting and for doing. But what I will say is that we may not even need that Omicron-specific variant, right?
If you have
a third shot.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If it were you,
yes,
you had two shots, would you go now to get the booster?
Well, I... I already got mine.
My
answer is yes, I would.
Okay.
Because remember that you want to protect yourself now. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can talk about what happens in 3 months and in 6 months, but we know that right now, need that third shot's going to help you against Delta, which is still the predominant strain in the country. And based on this evidence, it looks like the third shot will very likely give you very good protection against infection for Omicron. And remember, we're not just talking about the antibodies and that initial exposure and infection. We're still talking about that other part of the immune system that's still being triggered by vaccination and boosters.
What does this Pfizer news mean for children? My kids just got their first shot yesterday. What does this mean for them?
You know, I heard Savannah ask that of the CEO this morning, and we didn't really get an answer that I was waiting for.
I figured if the Pfizer CEO couldn't answer, Dr. Natalie could.
Look, my kids are 6 months out of their second dose, right? And I'm wondering, too, I think before that recommendation becomes formalized, I think it's going to go through a little regulatory discussion again. Remember, we always want to be that much
careful.
More careful when it comes to our
Absolutely.
Children, but there's no reason to think that they might not need a booster, sooner maybe rather than later as well.
Solid.
Good to know.
Dr. Natalie Azar.
You always
thank
bring
you.
It.
I know.
Dr. Azar, thank you so much. Turning now to a high-profile case back in the headlines today is one we've been following for nearly two decades. Convicted killer Scott Peterson will appear in court today after California's Supreme Court overturned his death penalty.
Peterson, of course, convicted of murdering his wife, Lacey, and their unborn baby. And today he could speak on his own behalf as he comes face-to-face with Lacey Peterson's family for the first time in 17 years. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin is outside that courthouse in California for us. So, Aaron, what exactly is this hearing today? What can we expect?
Hey, guys. Well, in some ways, this hearing is a formality. After the California Supreme Court overturned Scott Peterson's death sentence, saying that the judge at the time wrongfully excluded jurors who did not believe in the death penalty, by default, his sentence then becomes life in prison without parole. Today's hearing is expected to formalize that, but it's a hearing that's going to be full of drama and emotion. As you mentioned, this is the first time Lacey's family will come face to face with Scott Peterson in some 17 years. We also expect possibly to hear from Peterson himself, that according to his attorney, if a judge allows him to address the court. Guys,
Aaron, we've never heard Scott Peterson speak before in court, not even during his original trial. What is he expected to say if he does speak?
Well, he's expected to proclaim his innocence, that according to his lawyer. You know, I asked his lawyer, it's been 17 years of silence. Why is Scott Peterson speaking out now? And he said that he wants to change public perception. That is ahead of what his team is pushing for, a full retrial. Now, that is a separate matter to be handled in a hearing in February. His team wants to prove jury misconduct in that hearing. And if they grant a full retrial, that means there'll be a brand new jury. Now, legal experts say that is a high bar. Nevertheless, Scott Peterson, according to his attorney, wanting to lay the groundwork for that, really changing public perception. He feels that he was demonized the last time around. Guys.
All right. Aaron McLaughlin outside that courthouse there in California. All eyes on that courthouse today. Thank you, Aaron. Taking a turn here on a Wednesday. A glimpse into the future of work, from vacation time to salaries to new benefits, how our jobs may be changing in 2022. When the third hour of today comes right back.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, the year is winding down, and 2021 may have changed the way that we work forever. So this morning, we're looking at the future of work.
So each December, LinkedIn puts out its list of big ideas, predicting what companies and employees should be preparing for in the year ahead. Dan Roth is LinkedIn's editor-in-chief. He is out of his
out of the attic.
Out of the attic.
He made it.
And he is here in person.
It's hard. This is difficult being
Does
around
people.
This is the first time you've been around, like, you know, in close quarters like
I haven't
this.
Left my attic in 2 years.
Wow.
He just inched away from me a little bit. Yeah.
So Dan, before we get started, how did you compile these ideas? Where did they come from?
Yeah, we talk to our community. Every December, we talk to the community of academics, economists, CEOs, executives, creators, authors, ask them what they expect in the year ahead. And our goal is to try to put together all this information so that professionals around the world can understand what is coming in 2022 in terms of work, the economy, small business. You know, we want to give you a sense of like what to expect in the year ahead.
Okay.
So let's talk about something that's become front and center over the past few years, even before you could argue the pandemic even started, mental health in the workplace. What do we know about how the workplace is going to take this particular topic on with their employees?
Yeah, well, 2022 is the year that we are really going to deal with the trauma of the pandemic. Mm. I mean, life is getting back to normal, as indicative of me showing up here. But the depression, anxiety, fear, grief that were caused by the pandemic, that is not going away. And we know that mental health demand is outstripping supply. Clinicians are hard to find right now. They are burned out. Mm. People are burned out. Companies are starting to deal with this. Well, so one of the big things we're seeing is is companies offering many more benefits in terms of helping with burnout and work-life balance, so like company-wide days off, no meeting days, and better access to tools to be able to help people cope with these issues.
And mandatory vacations, too.
Yes. We are told a lot to start asking people, have you taken your days off? Make sure you're taking your days
That's
off.
Good.
Force people to get out of the office and have a life.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Did you say no meeting days?
No meeting days.
So next up, something you're calling,
writing a note,
right? A day of just nothing. Anyway, a day of a new era of employee power. What does that mean? What does that entail?
Sure. This is, employees are really, especially frontline workers, they're really able to call the shots right now. So if you have spent years with dreary working conditions and low pay, that is going to change in 2022. One of the sign of the times, Amazon, which typically pays about $1,000 to get people into the warehouse for these ultra important positions around the holidays, mm-hmm. they've had to triple that this year to get people in the door.
Wow. Kellogg's just their workers just turned down a contract saying, no, this is no good.
Absolutely. Wow. This is the time. If you were a frontline worker, now is the time to make demands. The demands we're hearing are things like more humane scheduling. We've heard over the years, like, really terrible scheduling stories. People are now saying, I want a schedule that I can predict, better pay, better access to senior leadership.
Another way, Dan, people are speaking up is for more diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I know you think that is going to be a major part going forward in all companies.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of this, is that employees are saying, I want to see people at the top levels, in the boardroom, in the C-suite, that look like me, and they are demanding changes. We expect to see that in 2022. The other cool part is they're saying, I want to see pay equity, real understanding that I'm getting paid what I'm worth, and other people are too. And what's going to happen is transparency of pay is going to happen next year, which is workers sharing what they make.
I was just about to ask you that, because if you're told never to tell your salary, not to talk about it, so how would you know that you're not making what someone else is
making?
What
does that look like?
This is the big change, is that this is not a top-down thing. And employers hate this. Employees are saying, let's start sharing what we make
here
so that everyone can know, and now we know that we are on the same page.
Hey, Dan, as people are trying to move back into the workplace, and I'm hearing from a lot, especially younger people, they don't want the 5 days anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking for more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And is that going to be the wave of the future? Is that what we're looking
Absolutely.
At now?
Absolutely. Flexibility is the single most important demand for workers right now. One of the things, next year is the year, I think, that we really start seeing the four-day work week take off. Companies are going to use this as an incentive to bring people in the door. It's going to be a competitive advantage, and then everyone's got to keep up. So we've talked about the four-day work week for a long time. Next year is the year we really start seeing it make inroads.
What about the commute? I mean, is the traditional commute dead as we know it?
Yeah,
as
I mean,
we knew it?
Yeah, this deals exactly with that. When people are working weird days, weird hours, the normal patterns are gone. So either you're going to have, you know, rush hour all the time. Yeah. Whenever you get in your car, it's going to be rush hour, or it's never going to be rush
hour. Let's hope never.
Yeah.
I'll go for the latter.
Some of these are silver linings, though. I mean, if you really step back and look at it objectively, I mean, some of the changes that have been forced upon us as a result of the pandemic, these are probably changes that we should have made years ago.
Absolutely. Wow. People getting paid more, having more flexibility, these are good things.
I think Dan that pause button also gave us some clarity
on
what we will and will not take.
That's right. Dan Roth, thank you. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Dan.
In person.
You're wearing real pants and everything. That's fantastic.
That's good. I got lucky.
All right, well, for the full list of LinkedIn big ideas, go to today.com.
All right, up next, an executive who's had quite a few big ideas. Yeah. NBC Universal Vice Chairman Bonnie Hammer, rock star here, is here to share a message to women about beauty standards. And then later, their sisters on screen and off, Kimberly Williams Paisley and Ashley Williams, live to fill us in on their two new Christmas movies. We'll be right back.
Our next guest, one of our favorite guests, she wants to change the way that women and girls look at themselves.
Bonnie Hammer is NBC Universal's vice chairman and a 40-year veteran of the television industry who has helped cultivate award-winning shows.
And it's not just that. She works tirelessly as a mentor and an advocate, often penning articles about women in the workplace.
Now, her most recent one from Vogue.com dives into a recent plastic surgery boom. Just to give you some perspective here, during the pandemic, Americans spent nearly $17 billion on plastic surgery and other cosmetic procedures. And Bonnie is just asking the question, why?
It's a great question.
It's a great question. It's a very fair question. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's a fantastic read. And I think you make it very clear. You're not saying, you know, I don't have any plastic surgery. It's not about that. But you are looking into, you know, why are women feeling this need to almost change their faces for some people.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And my concern is more about the next generation growing up who somehow are starting to believe that natural isn't acceptable, that only with procedures, plastic procedures, with shots, will they be able to gain their self-worth, maybe get a job, maybe find a partner, and have happiness. And I think it's our culture that's put the pressure on these women to just not be satisfied with themselves. And also, thank you, Instagram, and other apps that basically let you fix every single flaw.
I'm glad you mentioned social media, Bonnie, because you have an adult daughter, you have an 8-year-old granddaughter, I've got little kids. It's hard not to think about how social media is going to affect the little ones' lives. How much do you think about that?
I think about it constantly. With an 8-year-old granddaughter and a 42-year-old daughter, I see the influence that's happening right now. And I know how careful she's been about not having Maya have a phone yet. Just doesn't want to risk it or chance it too early. And the culture has put so much pressure on, you know, putting up, frankly, posting pictures. Every picture has to be fixed. You know, I think it was Dove that did a survey that the majority of teens and preteens will not post a photograph of themselves unless it's fixed.
Wow.
I believe that.
And if you look at the apps that are out there, for example, Facetune, I think it's one of the top 5 apps that exists that people buy so they can fix themselves before they post.
So Bonnie, you've been in this business a bit. If you could give advice to, because you've been able to resist this and made these choices, what would you say to these young people who are just now starting to enter, they're coming out of college, they're entering the workplace and feel this pressure?
I think there's the belief that unless you do something, you're not going to be able to find happiness, find a partner, figure out a way to get a job. I think it's really upon all of us to set an example, to basically mentor these women to believe in themselves, to understand and embrace individuality, to, you know, find peace and happiness with who they are.
How do you do it? You know, you go to these cocktail parties. You talked about it in the article. It's so true. When people had some time off, you come back to a cocktail party and everybody's face is different.
As soon as you take the mask off.
Right?
Well, there are two things going on. One is I'm just chicken.
Okay.
I am so afraid that I will do something that's not reversible.
Right, you'll be stuck.
And I'm a producer, so I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
So if I don't like something and I can't fix it, I'm in a lot of trouble. But I was also very lucky that my parents set a model for me. You know, when all of my friends, I'm one of the few gals, I would say, having been brought up in Brooklyn and Queens and Jewish and Italian communities, probably one of the few women, Jewish women, who made it through high school without getting a nose job. And my parents were just against it. You know, you're Jewish, you should embrace it, you should look like it. Why do you want to basically erase it? So I give them a lot of credit, even though I fought it when I was younger.
Is this a picture?
Look at that.
Wow.
Stunning.
Funny, yeah.
I was kind of young then, and that's my also, that's my natural hair. So I do things that are really big.
You wrote about that in the article, though.
Yes.
That's why. Here's the thing, buddy. You know, we're all returning to the workplace now, for the most part, or will in the next few months, and the Zoom meetings, or some folks using filters and ring lights, and people are going to have to come back to the workplace. How do you hope that we meet that moment?
Well, there are two things going on. Zoom has contributed to this because when we were all growing up, if we were to stare at ourselves when we were talking to one another, we'd be called narcissists. Mm-hmm. That's all. Now it's Zoom. We basically stare at our photos, you know, on a screen. Even if there are six or eight of us on that same screen, we're still there staring at ourselves, looking at every flaw. Mm-hmm. So I think getting back at least partially, if not fully, into a real situation when having a conversation with you, I'm looking at you rather than looking at me, I think will make a difference. But I do think it's upon all of us, Chanel, you, me, women, to basically mentor and support other women and give them the confidence to believe in themselves and in their individuality. That's what's important, not fixing things to look like somebody else.
Gosh, amen. Thank you for being you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So good.
Amen.
Bonnie Hammer, thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie.
We put so much more information on our website, so just go to today.com.
Yeah, go check that out. And then when we come back, sister co-stars Kimberly Williams-Paisley and Ashley Williams are here live. How they came up with the idea for not one, but two Christmas movies. And then later, we're going to raise a glass with some festive holiday drinks.
Here, here.
We'll be right back on the third hour of Today.
Here, it's here. 5 o'clock somewhere. Tis the season for holiday movies, and what's better than a double feature?
True. Absolutely. Real-life sisters Kimberly Williams-Paisley and Ashley Williams are playing on-screen sisters in two new films. The first was called Sister Swap, a hometown holiday.
The second is Sister Swap, Christmas in the City. And in this one, Kimberly's character Jennifer returns to their hometown. Ashley's character Meg then takes on a new role and decides she kind of likes it. Kimberly and Ashley join us now. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
We were saying, what a sweet idea for not just one, but two movies. Who came up with the idea?
This one.
It was me. Yeah. Well, this is, you know, my big sister is my best friend, my closest confidant. She's the first person I call when I'm crying or when I have good news, and I've always wanted to work with her.
And we never have. We've never worked together professionally before.
So, yeah, so I had this idea that she would be the star of her movie, and I would be the star of my movie, and we would be secondary characters in each other's movies, which is kind of like a metaphor for our lives. Mm. Like, I'm the leading actress and leading character of my life.
Sure.
And I'm just a supporting character.
And in your life.
Yeah.
So was there any trepidation in working together for the first time?
Yeah, because, I mean, we get along so well. We're best friends in so many ways, but we don't know each other in that professional setting. So I think you were more nervous than I was.
I was so scared.
Why were you scared?
Well, she's my hero, right? And
so you didn't want her to pop your balloon? I mean,
what?
Wow.
You know, like, I wanted it to be great. Now it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, Merry Christmas.
I have sisters, and so I know what you mean. Everything is wonderful.
I guess there's a balloon popping in your
face. No, everything is wonderful, and then you don't want to work together and then it not be
exactly
crazy.
And so I channeled all of my nervous energy into snack options.
Okay.
And
which was great.
Yeah, it was a good use of my energy, I think. Yeah. So I got her all of her favorite snacks, and
that's
I filled her trailer and with her favorite kombucha.
Oh.
And
I dressed
up.
Thoughtful. Yeah, me too.
What was what's her go-to snack?
Well, she likes Synergy. Well, there's a lot of chocolate.
Uh-huh. I'm a chocolate fan, and nuts,
she
and then nuts. Kombucha. You
and
know,
bananas.
But I mean,
I put
the crew
a lot of
thought
bananas.
That I was like maybe some major diva because she was like, "You guys, it has to be perfect."
Can someone wipe down her trailer one more time with a Lysol wipe?
Funny.
I want it to be
very clean.
And they did. They probably thought you were a nightmare.
The first day was really intense, but I have to say, after that, it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Had so much fun, and now we only want to work together.
It's also quite a family affair because there's a Brad Paisley song in there too, right?
There is. Brad wrote a great song. It's called Last Year, and Kelly Bannon sings on it. It's just beautiful. It goes over this montage in my movie, and then we had like friends. We have Kevin Nealon and his wife Susan Yeagley.
And who plays your mom?
Oh gosh.
This is so magical. So we were producers on the movie, which meant that we did have a little hand in casting. Mm-hmm. And our mother passed away from Alzheimer's disease about 5 years ago, and her best friend of 35 years is a soap opera actress named Anna Holbrook. Mm. And we asked Anna to audition for the role of the mother. There she is. She won the part. She gave such an incredible audition.
Yeah.
And so she came in and she played our mother.
It
was
so sweet.
Meaningful. Honestly, yes. It was really sort of cathartic and healing.
Yes, yes.
We cried a lot.
We cried a lot.
What were those scenes like when you did
it? It was intense.
Like, it was wonderful.
There was this one time when, like, Kim...
I have to make a speech in front of this this theater, and there's Anna, there's Ash, and Neil. You know, Ash's husband, Neil produced. And you know, just our friends and family are there, and I did think about my mom during the speech, and I'm saying, you know, Uncle Dave, who is a character in the movie, would have loved it. And, of course, I'm also thinking about my mom would have loved this.
Yeah.
And I finished my speech, and I just started bawling and went to Anna and just held on to her, and it was healing. Healing to go through all that.
Yeah, I feel like at this point I'm realizing that grief never stops. It just takes lots of different forms. So having this kind of meaningful experience with somebody who is sort of the new female matriarch of our family since we lost our mother. Mm-hmm. And these movies at Christmas time, we used to spend Christmas with Anna. So, you know, the Hallmark Channel was so supportive of the entire experience. And I think the final product is, it's touching. It's Christmas.
It's funny.
There's also romance. Mm-hmm.
But of course.
It's a Hallmark.
We know it's going to work out.
Like, more than anything else, it's about women supporting each other. And that makes me really proud.
And, you know, speaking of supporting each other, I'm sitting here, you know, I have three little ones at home, and my prayer is that they will have this kinship, and when they're your age, that they are genuinely close and they know they have each other. So I'm watching you two, and it's just such a gift that you guys have each other, you know? And this is, I'm sure your mother's looking
really
down from above.
Lucky. Like,
so happy.
She's up there just kind of,
pulling the strings.
Very inspirational. Congratulations to both of you. Kimberly and Ashley, you got to go watch their film. And you can catch Sister Swap Hometown Holiday Films and Sister Swap Christmas in the City. They premiere this Friday on the Hallmark Channel.
Sunday.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're keeping
this Sunday.
You guys might want to hang around because we're going to keep the holiday
celebration
going.
We're going to party.
We're going to have some great drink ideas to share or give this holiday season. Then tomorrow, the great Kathleen Turner live telling us about her one-night-only performance. Third Hour of Today will be right back.
This Sunday.
We've saved this segment till almost the end because we're going to be blotto by the time it's over. It's today's holiday handbook. Whether you're hosting a party or looking for the perfect bottle to give, we have some festive drinks that'll help us all feel jolly. Here to guide us through his top picks to toast is bourbon curator and spirits expert Fred Minnick. Fred, good to have you here.
Hey.
Good to be
here.
Good to
see
you. Rocking that ascot.
I got you an ascot, too.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
To show them how to rock it.
That's okay. Yeah. So let's get started. Let's start off with some bubbly.
So everybody likes champagne, but champagne can be very expensive.
Sure.
This holiday season, I'm recommending Prosecco.
Oh.
And a celebrity-owned Prosecco. Earl Stevens, E-40, the famous rapper, has one of the best, most affordable Proseccos on the market.
Wow, he'd appreciate
we love Prosecco.
That.
And what should we look for in a good Prosecco?
Okay, thank you.
You want it to be, crisp. You want to see some zest in there, a little bit of orange as well.
Fresh, crisp.
Ooh.
Would this make
delicious.
A good mimosa?
Great mimosa.
Why not?
And you know what? I want oysters with this.
Ooh.
All right. I'm down.
So now this next one, a pecan liqueur is next.
Yes.
That's new.
So this one, best liqueur at my spirits competition, the Ascots. This is like a pecan pie in a bottle.
Wow.
This is Rivulet. This is the best American
that smells so good. Wow.
Ever made, in my opinion.
Oh my God.
Goes great with cocktails. Wonderful as a dessert.
Wowzers.
Wow.
Cheers.
This is a game changer.
Oh, this is. Mm. Thank you for this.
Yeah, it's Rivulet. You can
find
it.
I think.
We're going to put this one up to the side.
Okay.
Now we're looking for bourbon.
That's how you know it's good.
Okay, so our bourbon is over here. Right here we have a scotch. This is Glenmorangie. This is the Quinta Rubin. This is a 14-year-old. It's a Highland single malt.
This is older than your kids.
Wait, this is
really, really
dangerous. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait.
You drinking all these straight? You're not mixing these with anything ever.
Well, you know what? We'll mix it from time to time, but this one deserves to be sipped neat. And one of my favorite notes in this is a flavor I love, marzipan.
Oh.
Oh. Woo! I got a lot of shoots to do later today.
I'm like, wow, people, these are great choices.
Ooh, don't forget to wind up the cat and put out the clock.
All right, how about this one?
So now bourbon is very difficult to buy right now, the higher end ones.
Really?
But you can
Why is that?
The demand is so crazy. You have long lines getting them. This is Four Roses, small batch select. Okay. One of the best products on the market. It was in my top 10 a couple years ago for best bourbon.
Okay.
And you're looking at only 40 bucks for this, 40, 50 bucks.
I am toasted already.
I'm only 4'11".
Forget about the toast. We're toasted.
Woo! I can't.
All right, nice. I guess I'll get this out of the way. I still have this one, by the way. I'm not letting go of this.
Not letting go of the rivulet.
Ooh, white wine.
So here we have a Chardonnay. This is a Sonoma Contreras Chardonnay. Really rich, buttery, going to go great with seafood. I personally love it with the crispy duck.
Oh, that's good. I mean, oysters, crispy duck, you're just giving us life today. All right, two more.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. All right, what about this one?
The good thing is we're not mixing liquors. Right.
What if you put them all together?
Then it's called a Long Island iced tea.
Okay, yes, tell us about this one.
So now we go to the Fortaleza Tequila Reposado. This is the Tequila Geeks Tequila. This
oh
is
my
what
gosh.
The bartenders love. This is what we're sipping at home. Goes great with makes a great Paloma margarita.
Or a shot. Lime.
Or a shot. Yeah.
Or a shot, guys. What time is it?
Try it?
I think it's about time.
But you know what? We're joking about this, but you know, as long as it's straight and without the sugary things, this you're not going to blow
nuts.
Your diet or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, in moderation, this could be part of a healthy lifestyle. In moderation.
In moderation.
There you go.
All right,
you
saved this one for last.
So this is Pilsner. This is, to me, this is what we should be having and what we're watching football games
Thank
with
you.
Some chicken wings.
Now, what's this called?
This is Pilsner Urquell. This is the original Pilsner. It's been around since the 1800s. It's going to be spicy. It's delicious.
Wow.
From oysters to chicken wings.
You prefer this on draft or out of the bottle?
I always prefer draft. Little head on there. And right off the tap.
And I want to sing your praises just for a bit. You know, Craig is Mr. Bourbon Man, and he always talks about how you are like the man in the industry. So we
That's
just want you to know we know who you are.
I appreciate
So you guys
that.
Are getting good advice
really
this morning.
Really appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks so much. Cheers to you. Up next, from cheers to cheese, we're going to show you the secret behind taking the perfect photograph with no filters.
No filter.
No filters. Then tomorrow. Four-time Grammy winner Ed Sheeran rocking the third hour of today, performing his latest hit. And the third hour will be right back.
I want to go back to this one.
I got mine.
You got it?
Pecan.
What is this?
Pecan is all right.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or any time. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
Welcome back. This time of year, we are all taking a lot of pictures, so we are bringing back our series, How to Adult, for a little tutorial.
Oh, whether you're posting on Instagram. I am buzzed. I'm glad I'm sitting. Whether you're posting on Instagram or want the perfect holiday card, we're going to show you how to rock any photo.
Okay, so I want you guys to realize the rock star that we have in the building. So here to help us is Michaela Pabon. She's a social media influencer, and she's a designer who did a How to Pose series. Here's the thing. I didn't realize you were coming in. I saw your name, and I didn't connect to you because I follow you.
That's
and
so
you
funny.
Had one of your videos had more than 5 million views. I was one of those 5 million. And so today we have you, and then we have, you guys all know Photo Nate, if you
follow us on Instagram.
Photo Nate.
Photo Nate. Follow Friday.
He's going to Sack while he teaches us. And if you're at home, you know what? No one's looking at you. Get up. Because you guys know, you go to events and you take pictures and you feel like you don't know how to stand, right? She's going to show you. So let's start with the stand-up pose.
Okay.
That you always do. It's good.
Yeah. So nobody ever knows how to use their hands when they're posing. It's always kind of like a weird thing.
Right, right.
Touch your fingers. Start just by touching your fingers. Not like a full grab, but just a quick little.
Just a little.
Let me copy. Yeah, just touch your fingers.
Okay.
Stand with your feet about shoulder width apart.
Okay.
And just lean onto one leg. Shift your weight to one leg.
Okay.
Perfect. That's so easy.
Okay.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel confident.
You can also take a step in front, shift the weight to the front leg. And there you go. Touch your fingers, bring it up a little bit. There you go. That's perfect.
So there's another one with the hands in your pocket.
Yes.
Let's try that one, Date. I'm going to try this one, Nate.
So you put your hands in your pocket.
Well,
a lot of people kind of ball their fist.
Yeah.
And it just makes this big bulge.
Yeah.
And then your hands disappear also, right? So what you want to do is put your thumbs out. Leave your thumbs out. You can do the same pose where you lean on one leg.
Are you guys doing this?
There you go.
You can also step again, step forward.
Now, what does that do? Does it kind of make me look skinny? Like, what is that going to do?
It just makes it comfortable
for you. But if you do that, that does it.
That was good.
All right,
let's show Jacob.
All right, so we got to talk about movement. Because movement is, I'm just awkward about everything. But movement in photos is particularly awkward. Here we are in this beautiful park.
Beautiful,
it's good to be here with you today.
Yes.
So what do we do?
So, okay, so this one, you're going to probably feel a little bit silly when you do this, but that's great, because then you'll laugh, right?
Let me get rid of this one. Okay, all right, let's see. Okay.
And when you laugh, you look better in a photo because it's a real smile.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're going to just turn a little bit diagonal away from the camera.
This way.
A little this way.
Okay.
Let's turn this way.
Okay. The awkward
here.
Man.
Yep, this way. And now you're just going to take a step forward, and you want to put your weight on that front foot, right? There you go. There you go! Yes, exactly like that.
Do it nice and neat so you can take a picture so we can test it. Ready,
go. Ready?
Yeah.
So just take one step forward.
Oh, I see you.
Oh, yes.
Blue shield.
I've never felt more awkward in my life, but the picture's going to look amazing.
The picture's going to look amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you really do have to think about these things,
actually. Yeah.
All right, is it Al's turn?
I guess so.
So
Michaela, sitting. I guess sitting is a good thing.
Sitting is a good thing.
I like the sit.
Yes. The one thing about sitting is you want to make sure that you're not, like, too posed and standing straight, because then it's just it's uncomfortable, right? So what you want to do is you put your feet about shoulder width apart. You can put your elbows right onto your knees. Give your blue steel right at the camera.
But you don't want a man spread.
not a full man spread. You don't want to. Yeah.
Nobody likes that.
No.
Let's see your pose, Al. Put your
elbows right on your knees. You can put one arm up like that. There you go.
Now, could you combo and do the finger catch do this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a good shot.
Look at
that blue steel look and the smile. You can also put your arm on the back of the chair, a little casual. Give yourself a good ha-ha-ha laugh.
Laugh, Al.
Yeah.
The laugh is crucial.
You know, my brother and I used to practice. We would do the freeze frames at the end of sitcoms. Well, I guess he's in trouble. Let's go to the wall.
I got to ask you about family photo.
Yes.
Come on over to our living room.
That's right.
Family photos are always very, very awkward.
Okay.
Family photo. They can be, because your tendency is to want to stand in the street. Let's see if you want to stand in the straight line.
Come to the living room.
You don't want
to
do that.
Oh, the living room. Okay.
So you don't want to stand in a straight line. What you want to do is kind of position yourself so that maybe one person is in front, that you're close to each other. And if someone's shorter, so I'm just maybe with the heels, I'm a little bit taller than you are. So I'm going to put my
That's cute. This is going to be a family photo.
Here. Yeah, rest my arm
now
here.
Now what do I do?
Let's all sing Deck the Halls with Balls of Hot Wax.
Okay. Ready, go.
So we're going to sing that and laugh.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Look at each other.
La, 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly. La, 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 la.
And it works so much better.
We are out of time right now, so we must go, we must go. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Michaela, and thank you, Nate. Fa, la, 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 la. We'll be right back.
You're the best.
That was great.
Thank you.
What a morning. Tomorrow on the third hour of Today, a huge show. Hollywood legend Kathleen Turner is going to be here live.
Plus, we've got Grammy-winning superstar Ed Sheeran performing his new smash hit.
Coming up on Hoda and Jenna, another music superstar, John Legend, and the hottest fashion from the People's Choice Awards.
And if you missed anything from this morning's broadcast, download the Today podcast so you can catch it up. Join us tomorrow.
What?
We should be sober by then.
I don't know
about
that.
Have a great day, everybody.
Woo!